This is the Big 550 KTRS. It's the Carney Show. Carney-less today. John has taken a few days off. I'm Paul Harris. Happy to be filling in. And by the way, I'll also be filling in for Frank on the large morning show in the afternoon on Wednesday and Thursday, in addition to my regular Friday afternoon 3 to 6 slot. So lots of opportunities for us to get together over the airwaves this week. Thank you very much for listening. Coming up later on this hour, Josh Arnold, a local guy who stars in one of the movies being featured at the St. Louis International Film Festival. It's called The Impersonators. He'll join me later on. Also, before the top of the hour, I gave away some tickets to this new movie called The Theory of Everything that we're going to be doing a screening of on Wednesday night so you can see it before anybody else in town. And I asked what movie Eddie Redmayne, the star of this movie, he plays Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything, in what movie from 2011 did Eddie Redmayne co-star with Michelle Williams? And the answer to that was My Week with Marilyn, a movie that I thought was a little bit overrated. But still, there's the answer, and so we give away a bunch of tickets to that. And I look forward to meeting those folks on Wednesday night. Moving on here. There are statutes on the books in many places around the country, including here in Missouri, that elevate some crimes to seemingly worse crimes because they are described as hate crimes. In some cases, they are crimes against people of color. In other cases, people who are disabled, perhaps somebody who's an immigrant, perhaps somebody who's gay or lesbian. My next guest says maybe those laws aren't doing what they're supposed to. Maybe they're not as effective as the people who probably had good intentions when they wrote those laws had hoped they would be. Her name is Angela Giampolo. She is an attorney and entrepreneur and activist in Philadelphia who blogs online and tweets as Philly Gay Lawyer. And I'm happy to have her on the show today. Hi, Angela. How are you?
Good. How are you, Paul?
Good. Nice to talk to you again.
You too.
Do we have evidence one way or the other about hate crime effectiveness?
Well, we don't have evidence that it is effective. And likewise, we don't necessarily have tangible evidence that it's ineffective. But, you've known me now for a few years, and obviously I'm a huge LGBT advocate, and I've been fighting for full equality for years. But so this doesn't make me very favorable amongst a lot of LGBT individuals because it seems kind of shocking that Philly Gay Lawyer or any LGBT advocate would be coming out and saying that hate crimes could potentially actually be, hate crime laws could actually be a bad thing. And the reason for that is just like the death penalty, that there are numerous studies that show that death penalty does not deter violence. And in some cases, the criminals actually end up committing their last crime in a state with the death penalty so that they can get the death penalty. So there's absolutely no evidence that death penalties deter crimes. And in some cases, it's been confessed that that's actually why they committed the crime in a certain place that they have it. And these crimes, really the LGBT community is arrested at three times the rate as their heterosexual counterparts. And people of minorities or people of color and the minority community is arrested six times more likely than their Caucasian counterparts. So any crime or any law that criminalizes something will, without a doubt, disproportionately affect LGBT individuals and people of color.
Okay.
So and then there's constitutional issues with it as well.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to, which is, to me, it comes down to a simple question. Aren't we criminalizing thought?
Exactly. Right. The ACLU, forget me, the ACLU, who won the marriage case in Pennsylvania, is against hate crime laws, right? I mean, where does it stop? What if you don't like obese people? They anger you. You see someone's Starbucks line and they're 400 pounds and you get angry and you hit them behind the head. I mean, so you're going to go to jail. You will be criminalized for hitting someone on the head. But should it be worse, instead of going to jail for 1 year, should you go to jail for 4 years because that person was obese? Where does it stop? And at the end of the day, we really need to hit the root of why people hate people and not just criminalizing hate in and of itself.
If we got down to the core of this, we could even go this far. If a straight woman were to beat up or kill a lesbian, the laws would be kicked in and could say, well, that was a hate crime because she killed her because she doesn't like her lifestyle. But if that lesbian beat up or killed that straight woman, there would be no such additional punishment, correct?
Absolutely. And let's take it a step further to convolute the laws. And this actually did happen in Texas. A lesbian and a gay guy got into a fight. Neither hates one another. They're both gay.
Yep.
But the lesbian was charged with a hate crime because she was gay. She was also black, and the cops were homophobic, and they used a law that was clearly not meant to be used against her because they could, because her victim was gay. So here you had someone who went to jail for longer than she otherwise should have. You know, and let's not forget, we have overpopulated prisons that we can't afford, that we're being taxed for. And if you go to jail for 4 years as opposed to one over something like this, we're really only producing hardened criminals, people that are going to be stuck in the system, that are really now going to become hardened and truly hateful. To come full circle to your original question, is there evidence one way or another? There isn't tangible evidence that they are not effective, but all of the negatives about them, in my opinion, as well as just the constitutional issues of criminalizing thought, weigh against what I see as any potential efficacy that the laws have.
Does it happen often that a hate crime charge is added on immediately because the victim is a minority?
Well, so in terms of hate crimes generally, the hate crimes against gay people, sexual orientation, is the third most prevalent kind of hate crime after race and religion. So you have race number one, religion number two, and then sexual orientation number three. I've been thinking this, and I've been researching this for several years, but what made me write about it now and be vocal about it now is Philadelphia had the worst hate crime it has ever seen on September 11th, where 15, you know, white, rich kids from the burbs, all college graduates, were at a party at a BYOB dinner, and afterwards they were on the street and they walked by two gay guys. And so everybody involved was white. 15 people beat up these two guys. One was in the hospital with his jaw wired shut. Only 3 were arrested. If that were 15 African-American individuals, you would bet all 15 of them would be in jail. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to know how many of these kids' dads or moms were lawyers. Only 3 were arrested, and hate crime was not one of them because at the time, Philadelphia did not have a hate crime law. Well, city council moved faster than I've ever seen it move, and in less than 30 days, unanimously enacted a hate crime law. A week later, we had another mob mentality hate crime, a lesbian couple out just outside the city. So again, clearly didn't deter it, and in that case, race was an issue. But, you know, so to answer your first question, I think race plays a huge part just in arrests generally. And then when we see white people that are convicted of hate crimes or perpetrate a hate crime, they aren't even necessarily arrested for it.
Do you think it goes beyond ineffectiveness to maybe being counterproductive?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think, you know, and that's why my opinion is controversial. It's counterproductive. It's actually harmful, in my opinion, to society. And ultimately, in the big scheme of things, and this is also goes to the constitutional component, the only reason, in my opinion, that they exist is really a human need and a human desire, if you will, an emotional need for vengeance. And that's a very controversial statement that, you know, but the death penalty, it's been said over and over, an eye for an eye.
Mm-hmm.
He killed my daughter, he deserves to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, you're fighting hate with hate.
Yep.
And again, you know, if it was wildly effective, maybe we'd be having a different conversation, but it's not. And I don't think that we should be using our emotions and creating laws around the need for vengeance or the need to feel safe.
But you know why politicians will automatically vote for this, as they did unanimously in Philadelphia, and that's because they never want to be seen as being soft on crime of any kind.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, right here in Philadelphia, we had we have the first openly elected gay state representative, and he and I have had candid conversations about the fact that I don't think they're effective, and please show me, you know, something on paper somewhere where this has been helpful, you know, been, and no one can. So not only do they not want to be seen as soft on crime, but here in Philadelphia, everybody looked, I mean, all the straight politicians, all the gay people love them now, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, Councilman, you know, so-and-so, Councilman so-and-so, look, they're just, they love the LGBT community. They want to protect us. They're on our side. They're this, they're that. So also just being pro-gay is very helpful for politicians nowadays, let alone, and if they didn't enact it, they'd be seen as anti-gay, which is right now even worse than being seen as soft on crime.
Yep.
So yeah, politicians are going to pass them left and right just to get that sort of badge of honor within the LGBT community.
Angela, you know, I can't have you on the air without asking you for an update on the status of same-sex marriage. I read this morning that a couple in Kentucky, plaintiffs there, have asked the Supreme Court to look into their case. Here in Missouri, we've got battles going on between various counties, even though judges have said that the same-sex ban, same-sex marriage ban in the state has to be thrown out. We have some places that are issuing same-sex marriage certificates and others that are not. How soon is the Supreme Court really going to answer this question?
You know, I have no idea what the Supremes are doing. I mean, it's just, you know, this country was founded on having a democratic, orderly society. Nevada is my favorite example, where at the beginning, and within 24 hours, gay marriage went from being illegal to legal, and then the Idaho thing happened, so it became illegal again, and then the next morning, so within a 24-hour time period, gay marriage was illegal, legal, illegal, and then legal again.
Wow.
I mean, and these nine humans have been appointed for life in order to make it so that the laws are set and that humans, you know, the citizenry can go about their day not having to worry about instability within their democratic society. And that is just not happening right now. So I think what you're seeing with Sotomayor and Justice Kennedy issuing these orders here and there to stop gay marriage here and allow it there is that the justices who do want to take up a gay marriage case this year, because you have to vote for it, so there's nine of them, so obviously five voted not to hear a marriage case this term. Well, you know, Justice Kennedy and Sotomayor were one of the four that voted for it, and they're thwarting the process in any way they can in order to make it so that they can hear it this term. If it doesn't work, they will absolutely have to hear it in the next term, because this quagmire is, it's just getting out of hand, and it's really making the country look like we don't know how to govern ourselves from the top down.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that they haven't taken it up yet, and maybe they'll change their mind and add it to the docket for some time later on.
Yep, they still have time.
Angela, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time today.
You're welcome, Paul. Thank you.
Angela Giampolo is an entrepreneur, attorney, and activist in the LGBT community in Philadelphia. She tweets at Philly Gay Lawyer. And I've called on her many times to talk about issues like this. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.